You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia. Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our healing day of prayer, and we invite you to join us to call in and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Good afternoon. Welcome to In His Sign Catholic Radio. This is Grace Marquet, and as always, I'm delighted to be with you today. This is our Friday day of prayer, a day when I invite you to call in with your prayer intentions. And it's always a special time when we intercede to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with those special intentions that we have in our hearts. And we all have them, don't we? Now, when I was here the last time, some of the intentions, we had about three people who had issues with their eyes. And I prayed with them through the intercession of Saint Gertrude, through the prayer that she wrote for the eyes. And the interesting thing is that since that time when I prayed for them, you are looking at me, I also had eye surgery. Both eyes, from when I saw you the last time, both eyes done surgery. And what I did was, when I was about to go under, I had memorized that prayer to Saint Gertrude. And just before the doctor did what he had to do, I said that prayer, and it's powerful. And right now what I'm doing is I'm waiting for my new glasses. That's the only advantage when you have the surgery, you get new glasses. So I'm waiting for them to come in, and we're making do with what we have here. So I don't usually walk around with dark green glasses. For those of you who are on the radio, that's what I have on. Anyway, when I went to the office, I never realized how many people had issues with their eyes. And it was just crowded. The place was just crowded. Of course, there are about four to five doctors that serve that area. So when I have these new intentions, I'm going to pray with them. And I'm going to pray with them with this prayer of St. Gertrude. And I'm going to offer it for each and every one of you out there. Because now I know there are a lot of you out there who are probably dealing with issues with your eyes. And our eyes are so precious, aren't they? So precious. So when we get into the intentions, I will say that prayer for you. So now, in the past, we prayed for you through the intercession of one of our beautiful saints. And we kind of will have our little favorites, don't we? We prayed through Saint Therese of the Child Jesus. We prayed through Saint Padre Pio, Saint John of the Cross, Saint John Paul II, Saint Faustina, Mother Cabrini, and many, many more. In fact, we even interceded to our holy angels, archangels, your guardian angel, and I was able to share with you so much of who they are and what their mission is and the power of intercession God has given them on your behalf. Our angels and archangels are vital in our salvation history, and we really don't see all they do for us every day. So, what are we going to do today? I'm going to bring all of us together. One big, wonderful group. We are going to place your intentions before the entire kingdom of God. That's pretty big, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It is big because we're going to place your intentions before all the saints, before all the angels, before the holy souls in purgatory, before all of you who are listening right now, right here on earth. You, our wonderful listeners, will be in intercessory prayer for our brothers and sisters and for their intentions, okay? And you'll be great. I know you're great. And that's one thing Kathleen McCarthy always says. She says her viewers, her people, are the greatest listeners ever. So I know you're going to be interceding for our brothers and sisters today, and I really look forward to this. Now, this is quite a special group that I'm talking about, and there's a name for this group. It is called, you guessed it, I think you know what it's called, because you're very smart out there. It's called the Communion of Saints, and you are part of it. And who is the head of this group? Who formed this group? Almighty God himself. So this looks like a lot of prayer power going forth for you today. So now, as we always do, we will begin with prayer, and then we will move on from there. With your intentions first, that always comes first, we will pray for your intentions, and a little further in, we'll talk a little more on the communion of saints. We are a team. We are connected through the beautiful love and mercy of Jesus, through that beautiful divine mercy of Jesus Christ. So we pray, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, it is almost too much for us to take in, to think that the countless number of saints in your kingdom are praying this very moment for us. They are before your throne, praying for our intentions today and every day. And they're not only praying for us, but your saints in heaven are also praying for any family member in our family tree going way, way back, who may be in purgatory. We may not know. Or many other souls unknown to us who may be in purgatory. It is comforting to know, Lord, that through your communion of saints, those of us here can also pray for those holy souls in purgatory. They desperately need our prayers. They're suffering because they long to see your face, Lord. Lord, have mercy. Our prayers for them are so, so important. It is our prayers here and the prayers of the saints in heaven who will help free the holy souls and purify them for the glorious day when you, Lord, will receive them in your kingdom. How they long for that day. Lord, you also want them in the kingdom with you. And you tell us over and over again that our prayers can make that happen for them. Forgive me, Lord, for the times I have not been as faithful as I should be in praying for the holy souls, especially the ones who have no one here on earth to pray for them. And there are so many stories in our church history of the holy souls coming back, actually coming back asking for prayer. In fact, our dear Saint Padre Pio would say he would see them coming up Mount Gargano on their way to his monastery for his masses. They were so powerful, and they knew that his holiness and his masses would get them into the kingdom. It was amazing how many he saw. In fact, people would say to him, "Aren't you afraid of seeing them come up like that?" And Padre Pio said, "I have seen so many of the souls come to me. It doesn't frighten me anymore." That is something. And we're told in Scripture in the book of Maccabees, it is a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they be loosed from their sins. They were praying for their deceased soldiers. Right in your word, Lord, in Scripture, you call us to pray for all of the holy souls. They're crying out to us. And may our prayer today be that prayer that removes the veil and helps the holy soul see you, Lord. See your glorified face. Amen and amen. So we have some telephone numbers for you to call. I'll give them to you now. They're 610-527-2906, 888-343-2484, and I'll repeat that, 610-527-2906, 888-343-2484. Now, we do have some prayer intentions already right here, and I'll ask you, again, our faithful listeners, pray along with us as we pray for these intentions. You, along with the angels, the saints, and the holy souls, are an important part of uniting with us in prayer today for our brothers and sisters. We need your prayer, okay? You are part of the communion of saints. Now, I said to you, we had three here who were prayer intentions for their eyes. And we're going to start with that one. And we have Paul here. Paul had, just like that, he came down with a detached retina. He immediately went to the doctors and they took care of him. They immediately had surgery for him. And he was doing well. And then about a week later, he thought the same thing was happening to his other eye. But this time the doctors were able to catch it in time and start treating him. And in speaking with his mother, Louise, said that he said he's doing well, he's doing better, and that's an answer to prayer. That's an answer to the prayer we've been saying. We have here Pam. Pam has what's called a freckle in the eye. Now, that may not sound like much. I had never heard of it. But it could turn into a malignant melanoma, which is dangerous. Now, she's been treating for it, and she just came back from the doctors, and the doctor said to her that he would see her in a year. So that's very positive. I'm happy for you, Pam. God bless you. We'll continue to pray for you. And again, we have, it says, Marie's daughter, Mary. We prayed for this Mary in the past. God love her. She's the woman who had cancer in her jaw. And the doctors, this was going to be a critical surgery. They were going to have to remove her jaw and put a cadaver jaw in there in some way. And it was getting to be so big, and she was having a hard time with this. So they decided, they looked into some things, and they changed the doctor, and they're taking this gradually as they go along. So we're praying for Mary for that. But also, she also has a freckle in the eye. So we pray for you, Mary. God bless you. You've been through so much. And this additional thing is something natural you don't want, but we're going to pray for that. And we're going to pray, as I said, through the prayer of St. Gertrude, and I lift each and every one of you out there up as we pray for eyes, and me too. I'm going to pray for these two over here, these little peepers here. So we pray for you, for whatever your intention may be. Now, this is the beautiful prayer of St. Gertrude. I have it right here, and this is what she says. It's an extract from Revelations. She says, "On the second Sunday in Lent, I saw the Lord face to face. I seem to see against my face another face. It is but you, my God. Who can know how not only my soul, but also all the powers of my heart, I found pleasure in this happy vision, in which the brightness of your eyes, like two suns, S-U-N-S, looked straight into my own. The brightness of your eyes, like two suns, looked straight into my own. I perceived the gentle light proceeding from thy divine eyes and passing through mine, spreading itself in every secret part of me and seeming to fill all my members with a wonderful power and strength. Then the Lord spoke, 'All those who meditate frequently on the vision of my divine face, attracted by the desires of love, shall receive within them, through my humanity, a bright ray of my divinity, which shall enlighten their inmost souls, so that they shall reflect the light of my countenance in a special manner throughout eternity.'" That light he is speaking of, that divine light, and if you have that devotion to his divine face, that this light will reflect, his countenance will reflect in a special manner in you, throughout eternity. That is a powerful, powerful prayer of St. Gertrude. And I just pray that for every one of you out there. And we're going to pray. We're going to get some answers on that. So now we do have more prayer intentions, and I said we always pray for them first. We have here a John. John is a devoted Catholic. He's the caretaker of a parish in Wayne, and his lung cancer has returned. and he's going to be on chemo for the rest of his life. John, God bless you, John. There is just something when we hear that word, isn't it? That word cancer that we just get. It really upsets us, John. But I'm looking at this. You're a devoted man, devoted Catholic. You take care of your parish. The Lord Jesus Christ is with you, John. He is with you. We're going to pray for you, especially for peace in your heart. Peace knowing that the Lord is walking with you and he's going to handle you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to make sure you see the right people, given the right medications. And we're expecting something beautiful, John. We're going to expect to hear from you something beautiful. So we'll continue to pray for you, John. You know, all these prayers, we continue to pray for these intentions, even when we were not here on the air. Mm-hmm. So we have one here. If you recall, we had a Joshua had called. Let's see, Joshua had asked for prayer for him and his wife, and they were having marital difficulties. They had four children. He asked for prayer. In fact, he had just left his home. He had just left home. We prayed for them, and we heard that they are back together. Isn't that wonderful? So nice to hear good news. Isn't it wonderful to hear this? They are back together. In fact, his wife said he was even saying the grace before meals. Wow, sounds like you got it, Joshua. Sounds like you know what you have to do. God bless you. I'm happy for you, your wife, and especially for the four children. I'm sure they're rejoicing. You know, little kids hold a lot within themselves, and I'm very happy for this answer to prayer. Very, very nice. We have here Nicholas. Nicholas is 47. He fell. He broke his neck. And he's now a paraplegic. His family and friends are praying for him to the Augustinian priest, Father Bill Atkinson. If you never heard of him, Bill Atkinson, he's now with the Lord, but he was a seminarian, and he went tobogganing with his friends, and they hit into a tree, and Bill became a quadriplegic. He was paralyzed from the neck down. In fact, they are now looking at his cause for sainthood. And it looked like he may not have become a priest after that terrible accident. But he received a dispensation from Pope Paul VI, and he was able to become a priest, an Augustinian priest. And he did teach. He taught at Monsignor Bonner High School. He taught in a college. And I'm kind of proud of this because my nephew, Fred, was going to Monsignor Bonner at that time. And they had some boys who were able to help Father do some of the things he couldn't do. And Fred was one of them, so I'm very blessed to have that. But we're going to join this family for a miracle in praying for Nicholas. We're going to pray to, they're praying to Father Bill Atkinson in the kingdom, and we're going to pray for that also. God bless you, Nicholas. God bless you. We have one here, Marianne. Marianne has heart issues. She's concerned because her husband, Ron, was at death's door last year and is still in great need of her care. She needs to maintain her own health in order to help him. It's a critical issue for both of them, and she is grateful for the prayers we're saying for her. And you know, my friends, I'm amazed at the selflessness and the concern when partners have this for each other. I mean, here's a man who is really not well. He almost died last year, and she's not well, yet she's trying to maintain her health so that she could be there for him. That is so beautiful. I mean, what you're seeing here working, Marianne and Ron, are the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. God bless you both. The Lord God is helping you. I know our Blessed Lady is walking with you, Marianne. She's going to help you. She was there for her son in his darkest hour, and she's going to help you, both of you. And we're going to continue to pray for both of you. God bless you. Okay, let's see. We have, I have a special one here for today. It's kind of a personal one. My sister Dolores, in just 2 days, April 28th, she will be, we will be, celebrating. It'd be 4 years that she passed away. My sister Dolores died of COVID in the highest point of the pandemic. It was horrible. It was an extremely difficult time frame for her, her daughter Michelle, her son Fred, and our entire family. This was a tough time. Dolores is a great lady. She loved the Blessed Mother. She made rosary beads, and she would send them to other countries that didn't have rosary beads. And the interesting thing is, her greatest suffering took place the very weekend of Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday. That's when she suffered the greatest, and it was surely after that that she passed. I believe in my heart that she walked through the Passion with Jesus Christ by her side. And she is now in his arms. I believe that so strongly. Love you, Dolores. Our whole family loves you. You're greatly missed. And please, pray for us. Pray for us. So, so beautiful. We have more here. We have, we have one here. We have Grant. Grant, this is a petition given here. Let's see. Grant felt a sensation in his chest. He went to have it checked, and they admitted him to the hospital. And the next day, he had a quadruple bypass surgery. I don't know the reports, but again, we come to you, Sacred Heart of Jesus. Let your blood, your power, and your love that pours forth from your Sacred Heart, Lord, heal him. We pray for the wisdom of the doctors, and you, Lord, are the divine physician. We truly pray to you to take over that situation. That is quite a surgery, quite a surgery. So we're going to move on here for a little while. I'm going to speak a little more on the Communion of Saints, because this is exciting. If the term Communion of Saints sounds familiar to you, it is found in the Apostles' Creed. The last paragraph in the Apostles' Creed says, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. There it is. The communion of saints. The forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. The communion of saints refers to the members of the mystical body of Christ, both living members and deceased members. It includes three groups. Those of us here on earth, you and me. And we are called the church militant, because we're fighting down here. The second group, the church suffering, the holy souls who died and are being purified in purgatory for their eventual entrance into heaven. They're also called the church penitent. And then the third group, the church triumphant. They're the saints. The saints, those people who lived on this earth and were faithful in following Christ. They live their lives in heroic virtue, and they're now in heaven. What makes the communion of saints so special? We can pray for each other. And through that spiritual support, the team effort, that team working together, we can help each other to one day get to heaven and see the face of God. Now that is quite a responsibility for us. So, my friends, you're not alone. You can't say, no one is praying for me. Because through the love and mercy of God, someone is praying for you. So let's look at this group a little closer, the Communion of Saints. Look at the saints in heaven, the church triumphant. They went through the trials that you're going through right now. They know what life is. They experienced it, the highs, the lows, the good and the bad. They suffered when they were on this earth, but they remained faithful to their God, and they received their just reward. We're familiar with some of those saints, like I said, St. Therese, St. Anthony, St. Anton, St. Francis of Assisi, St. Jude. Now, there are thousands upon thousands of saints up there from previous centuries and current times that we don't even know about, who are praying for you here on earth, and they're also praying for the holy souls in purgatory to be purged and welcomed by Christ into the kingdom. Even your angels are praying. Your own guardian angel by your side is praying for you. And when you're in heaven, that same guardian angel will be by your side for all eternity. Isn't that something? That is true. Now, what about our group? our group, you and me, here on earth, the Church Militant. We're fighting to lead a life worthy of going to heaven. It's tough. And we're fighting against all those things that try to keep us from God. The world, the flesh, the devil. Oh, that devil works overtime to take you where he wants to go. But we must keep the commandments and be ready when God calls us home. And in our group, the Church Militant, we can pray for the holy souls. We can have masses said for them. You know when you go to a funeral and you take a mass card? That's not just a piece of paper, okay? What that is saying is that card is going to a monastery, a rectory, a convent. It's going where priests and sisters can pray. Pray for the holy soul, your relative or your friend who has just passed. We can have novena said. We can light candles. I'm often at St. Rita's Basilica in South Philadelphia. Names my friends, family. It's there all over the place. I light candles there for them. You can go to Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament for the holy souls. Say the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Pray the rosary. The Rosary of Mary is so powerful when you're praying for the holy souls. You know, remember at the foot of the cross when Jesus said to Mary, John, this is your son. And to John, this is your mother. Well, that wasn't just referring to John. That referred to the whole human race. Jesus was giving us to his mother as our mother. She is our spiritual mother. Our blessed mother, and don't you think she would want all of her children in heaven with her? Of course she does. That is why we pray for the holy souls to get there. Now how about the church suffering themselves? Let's look at the holy souls. It's important to note that in the words of Father Joseph Wolfe from EWTN, he said this, the holy souls in purgatory are saved. There, if you wonder, they're saved. Just as the saints in heaven are saved. And yet in God's grace after they die, they do not get to heaven immediately. There is a need for them to be purified of some wounds or sins they committed in their lives. But they're on their way to their ultimate destination, which is heaven. And that's the reason we pray for them. Now, the question is, can the holy souls pray for us? Well, three great saints and doctors of the church. St. Robert Bellarmine, who was a theologian, a cardinal, refuted many of the heresies of our time. St. Alphonsus Liguori, a theologian, he founded the Redemptorist Order of Priests. St. Padre Pio, St. John Vianney, all said yes, the souls in purgatory can pray for us. So now think of that. Think of that. Someone in your family tree has passed away and is in purgatory. Of course, you wouldn't know that. That person can pray for you. You won't even know who they are, but they can pray for you just as we, you and I, pray for the holy souls. And through our prayer, they will one day see the face of God. So it's the divine mercy of God who has given us the communion of saints, our team working together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, do you want to get to heaven? I do. Do you want to be one of those saints? I do. What do you have to do to get to heaven? Well, we could speak volumes here, but the Lord makes it very clear when he preaches on the Beatitudes. What are the Beatitudes? Where did Jesus preach them? Well, I'm going to tell you a special story of how I was brought right to the mountain of the Beatitudes in the Holy Land. A while back, I was visiting the nun, the sister I had in kindergarten. She was a Trinitarian sister of the Most Blessed Trinity, Sister Rose Margaret. What a saint. And when she was very ill, I was leaving the mother house. I was just visiting her there with my associate there who was helping me in my ministry. And one of their sisters, Sister Bartholomew, walked in. And she was their development director. And she came up to me and she said, hey, paisano. She was Italian. Can you tell? So was I. And she said, how would you like to be in concert in the Holy Land? I was stunned. I froze. I paused briefly. I said, yes, sister, of course. She offered the trip to me and my associate, and later my two sisters, Dolores and Rita decided to join us on the trip, and wow, it was wonderful. So here we are in the Holy Land, and we're going to take a break right now. Take a little break, and then don't go away, come back, because I'm going to tell you what happened on the Sea of Galilee.
My name is Mario D'Adamo, and I have been a faithful listener to In His Sign Radio Ministry since 1990, and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's Word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906. Or on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, I promised you that when we came back, I was going to tell you a little story. The sister had asked if I would sing a song here on the Sea of Galilee. We were in this boat, and just let me for a minute, though, go into the sea itself. You know, when you read in Scripture, the Sea of Galilee can be so peaceful. And that day that we were on, it was so calm. But as you know, it can also be very treacherous, very dangerous. All of a sudden, a tempest can well up, shake the boats, disturb the sea, and cause all kinds of panic. Remember Peter in the boat? Peter was in a boat when a terrible storm came up, and he was scared. He was hollering, "Help us, Jesus, help us, we're going to drown." And Jesus went over, says, "Oh, you of little faith, little faith." I think I would be like Peter. I think I would have been a little nervous myself. Well, now, the day we were on boat in the Sea of Galilee with our group, it was very calm. I want you to picture this. There was a haze in the distance, almost like a veil covering the heavens. A silence, a quiet that permeated the whole horizon. Got the picture? Quiet. So Sister Bartholomew asked me to sing a Christian song for our tour group on the boat. And it truly was a special moment. And she took a picture of this moment. Well, when I saw the picture later, in the photo, I was singing about Jesus, and right above me, the Israeli flag was flying over the boat. Something I was unprepared for, but it touched my soul. The Israeli flag, and under it, I was singing about Jesus on the Sea of Galilee. It was an unbelievable moving experience. In fact, it's a special photo that, even to this day, when I look at, really, really touches me. Now, as we got off the boat, we walked up the hill and proceeded to the church, the Basilica on the Mount of the Beatitudes. This was the site that in the time of Jesus, he spoke the Beatitudes. This was the site. And this was our blueprint to a life that if we put into action, what Jesus was saying would lead us into the kingdom. The Beatitudes are a blueprint for sainthood. And what are they? They are called the Blesseds. So we were gazing upon the hill where Jesus had spoken to the crowd. Okay? Archbishop Fulton Sheen, that holy saintly man of God, in his book said this in the life of Christ. He said, the Sermon on the Mount, which is where the Beatitudes were, is so much at variance with all that our world holds dear that the world will crucify anyone who tries to live up to its values. And because Christ preached the Beatitudes, he had to die. Calvary was the price he paid for the Sermon on the Mount. Now I have something special for you. I said that God in his divine mercy gives to us the communion of saints to help us. We're teammates, helping each other, pushing us over that goal line. And there are many ways to find our way back to him if we've gone astray. You're not lost. You're not lost as long as you're on this earth. Jesus loves us so much, he gave his life on the cross. He has given us the sacrament of confession, and he has given us the greatest gift of all, the Holy Eucharist, in which we receive his true presence, the body and blood of Jesus Christ himself. I'd like to play something for you. It's a little song I wrote called The Greatest Gift, which speaks of this Eucharist. And it just tells you all that Jesus has done for us. The greatest gift.
Your true presence in the bread, the greatest gift that you could give me, your true presence in the wine, the greatest love that you could offer was to die for love of me. The living bread come down from heaven is the food that sets me free. What can I offer as I receive your precious body and blood in me? The that I could give you is my heart, my life, my all. The bread of life that dwells within me is my saving, healing Lord. What can I offer as I receive present? renew us in the Holy Spirit, that one day we may be one. The bread of life, your gift, your
I lift my head and thank you, Father, for sending us your Son. Renew us in the Holy Spirit, that one day we may be one, and that we may be one together in the communion of saints. It's so beautiful how you could take all these parts and put them together, and all comes back to that oneness, that unity. In fact, just this morning, I was listening to EWTN, and Father Joseph Wolf, again, I mentioned his name, he's so beautiful. As I was doing this with the Beatitudes and the Eucharist, you know, you say we're going in the right direction here today. And it was amazing because he started speaking about the communion of saints. And I was so blessed by this. I said, oh, he's talking about what I'm going to talk about. But then he said something. He said, after he spoke a little about the communion of saints, he said, it's the Eucharist, he said, that brings the communion of saints about. He says, the Eucharist brings us into that unity. And I was so happy to hear that because I knew I was going to be playing the greatest gift about the Eucharist. So I had that wonderful, what we call affirmation this morning. It made me happy. You know, when we get those little moments that it makes us happy. He spoke on the Beatitudes and the Eucharist. So I thought that was beautiful. I thought, well, then that means he spoke on the communion of saints, and I was just talking about the Beatitudes. So I'm just going to quickly run through the Beatitudes quickly, but you could read them in Bishop Shane's book because he goes through every one in detail. The Sermon on the Mount, it says here that the world will crucify anyone who tries to live up to its values. Blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. That is how they persecuted the prophets before you. Archbishop Sheen gives a complete dissertation in his book, Life of Christ, on every one of those Beatitudes. And he concludes, Calvary was the price Jesus paid for the Sermon on the Mount. I have here the words of Pope Francis. I'd like to quote the words of Pope Francis here. In speaking of the communion of saints, he says this: the bond of this union in the communion of saints is so strong, it cannot be broken, even by death. In Christ, no one can ever truly separate us from those we love, because the bond is an existential bond, a strong bond that is our very nature. Nothing and no one can break this bond. My friends, with those strong words of Pope Francis, I'd like to share a comforting poem. This poem was adapted by Irish monks in 1910. That's right, a poem adapted by Irish monks in 1910. And it is called Death is Nothing at All. They are the words of someone you know who has passed, who is speaking to you, and I'd like to read it to you. Death is nothing at all. I have only slipped away into the next room. I am I, and you are you. Whatever we were to each other, that we are still. Call me by the old familiar name. Speak of me in the easy way which you always used to. Put no difference into your tone. Wear no forced air of solemnity or sorrow. Laugh as we always laughed at the little jokes that we enjoyed together. Play, smile, think of me, pray for me, as I for you. Let my name be ever the household word that it always was. Let it be spoken without an effort, without the trace of a shadow upon it. Life means all that it ever meant. It is the same as it ever was. There is absolute and unbroken continuity. Why should I be out of mind because I am out of sight? I am but waiting for you, for an interval, somewhere near, just round the corner. All is well. Nothing is past. Nothing is lost. One brief moment, and all will be as it was before, only better. How we shall laugh at the trouble of parting when we meet again. Infinitely happier, and forever we will all be one together with Christ. Written in 1910 by Irish monks. And those last words, forever we will all be one together with Christ. We see the totality and the oneness of the communion of saints, our group, our team, praying for each other, that we may all be one to see the face of God. What a group. What a group we are, huh? That's love. That is love. Now, I have some more prayer intentions here. And we do have some beautiful intentions that I would like to get to. We do have a little time to do them. Good. That's good. Here we are. I have here, let's see. We have Judy. Judy's praying for five friends who are dealing with dementia, Alzheimer's. Five. And of the five, I know one of them is my best friend, Janet. She helped me in my music ministry. Maybe many of you met her and knew her through that during my concerts. And she is now in home hospice, which really saddens me. And Judy is dealing with four other friends. And she said, we lose them before we lose them. There has to be a very high place in heaven for these beautiful people. And somehow in the Lord's merciful love, their reward must be great. We can't even fathom what that suffering must eventually bring as far as a reward. We also pray for their caregivers. How hard it has to be. Judy says when she prays for her friends, she asks the Lord to cover them with the mantle of his love and his peace. And as their minds slip away, he helps them not be afraid. I also pray, Lord, that you protect them from abuse. Give their caregivers an abundance of understanding. That's not easy. We thank you, Lord, as we've been praying for Dave. Dave was operated on. He had kidney surgery. He had bladder surgery. And if you recall, we prayed for his wife, Sherry. Sherry had a stem cell transplant for cancer of the blood. And it looked like she had a successful transplant. But shortly after, she died in the hospital. Very sad because she was doing well. Now, Dave is her husband. And Sherry's loss is a tremendous loss for him. So we have been praying for successful surgery for Dave. And I understand we got word yesterday that whatever they found there was benign. They'll still continue to check on him. And we thank the good Lord for that. I thank you for your prayers for that. And I know Sherry up there is praying for him. Sherry is praying for him. I pray for Madeline. Madeline is praying for her friend Lorraine. We were praying for Lorraine, who went into hospice care last Friday. She died early Monday morning. And we pray eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon her. May her soul and the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. And this is so in keeping. We're talking about the holy souls today. And here we're praying for Lorraine, who just went to the Lord. Just imagine how beautiful. How beautiful. Let's see, we have more here. We have Diane. Diane is 59. Diane has come down with ALS. ALS, others, we know that as Lou Gehrig's disease. And I know the gentleman who does my arrangements, the music you heard, his wife, Cassie, we had prayed for her. She died of ALS. And it's just a difficult disease to have. So Diane is 59, and we're praying for her. Linda's asking for prayer for her. And Linda is the aunt of Langdon. Remember Langdon? We've been praying for him, the little three-year-old who had come down with cancer, I believe in the pancreas or so. And we prayed for him, and it looked like he had tremendous healing. And we were rejoicing and everything. And now I believe he's back in Children's Hospital. And we're not giving up. We're not giving up. No, we're not. We're praying for him. We had prayed to the Infinite Prague, and I carry with me. I have a pouch from the Infinite Prague, and I said to the Infinite Prague, "This is staying on my body until we see Langdon healed." So that was for answered prayer for Linda and her family and so on. Let's see. We have Grace, same name with this. Grace is 25. She's been in an emotional facility for a month now. She's looking for help, trying to regulate her medication, and she's dealing with other issues. She's been dealing apparently with this for a long time, and she's only 25. Also, I guess in that same light, there's a Cheryl who's 58, dealing with emotional issues, and I believe they're putting her, my brother's taking her to a place in New York, I think it's Sloan Kettering, to try to help her up there. So we pray for Grace, 25, Cheryl, 58. Oh, Lord God Almighty. It's so hard. This is so difficult, whether it's emotional depression or fear or whatever it may be. Only you know, God. Only you know what the cure is, how to get them out of this, to be so young and be in this situation, Lord. Lord, we pray the power of your Holy Spirit come upon them. Holy Spirit, crash right through their minds and bodies and souls and free them. Free them of this. I bind you, Satan. I bind you of anything you're trying to pull them down with. It's not true. It's not true. Bring them truth, Lord. Let truth flow through their bodies that they may be freed. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We're going to pray for Danny. Do you see, we have a number of prayers here today. Thank the good Lord, because that's what our Friday day of prayer is about. To pray for these intentions. We have Danny. He weighs 115 pounds and he's 30 years old. That's too little. He has a number of issues. Scoliosis. He has celiac disease. He's bipolar. He has anorexia. And the thing was, he kept caring for himself. And whenever anyone would try to help him, he'd say, "I'm doing fine. I'm eating. I'm doing everything I have to do. I'm fine." So it's pretty hard to break through in those situations. But now the doctor got hold of him. And the doctor is telling him, "Danny, you're wrecking yourself. You're wrecking your body." So we pray, Lord, again, touch his mind. Touch his mind. Let him see that he thinks he's bigger than he is. He has anorexia. He's not bigger than he is. He has a number of issues that, Lord, only you and the power of your Holy Spirit can break through and heal this young man. His own father right now is having an infusion for leukemia. So there are a lot of issues here in the family. Lord, we pray for Danny's father. We pray that the pure blood that flowed from your side on the cross, Lord, flow through Danny's father, cleanse him from his leukemia. We pray for this holy this whole family, Lord. Holy, yeah, holy. This is holiness, Lord, when we're suffering. We pray for your healing power to go through them, touch them. See, Lord, let them see, Lord, that you are their answer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And we continue to pray for Lily. Remember, we pray for Lily, that 17-year-old who had that tumor on her pancreas that no doctor knew what it was. They didn't want to operate on her because they feared it would, you know, spread like crazy. But they finally did have to do that. She was in pain all the time. She's 17 years old. Well, she finally had to go to this treatment center. They did the surgery. And she is in school, but she has to have periodic hospitalizations. She's strong and spirited, yet so difficult for a teenage girl. They still don't know what kind of cancer this is. Now, her family is deeply religious, which is good. And she has the prayer support. In fact, her grandmother has had 3 back surgeries. So again, you see this combination of the young child and the older person going through difficulties. But I understand, I've been told, this is an incredibly beautiful family, very spiritual. So Lily, you're in my heart. You know, every time I say your name, you're in my heart. I want you completely healed. You're so young. You're a teenager. You should be enjoying teenage things. So our group is praying for you. All of our listeners are praying for Lily and Landon right now, and Danny, and every person we prayed for today. We thank you for your prayers. It's prayer is what's going to get them through, and the right medical situation, the right doctors, the right, if they're a therapist or whatever, whoever's out there that could be out there to help them. We know, Lord, nothing's impossible to you. These are some really heavy-duty prayers, Lord. We just pray for them. We just pray. We have a young man in his 30s, a heavy drinker. He left his home. He didn't want to be home. I guess he was being told about his drinking. So he went to live with his girlfriend. And after a period of time, his mother thought he was doing well because she didn't hear anything. He was doing well with the drinking. Then his mother got a call from his girlfriend, the very person he was living with. And his girlfriend told his mother that the girlfriend drove him to the hospital, that he was worse than ever. They were putting him in a rehab. A young man in his 30s. Oh, Lord God Almighty, I pray, Lord, that whatever is pulling this man down, whatever is in him that is causing this drinking, I'm glad he's in a rehab. And I pray you give him the right medications, the right people to treat him and heal him. And bring this family in union. Bring them together. The girlfriend, the mother, and the son. Bring them together. Let them see that they need each other. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Let's see. We have... This one just came in. Please pray for Pamela's sister, Mary, who needs a healing. We will pray for that right now. Pamela's sister, Mary. Mary, we don't know. Don't know what the healing is for, but I don't have to know. I don't need to know. All we know is that you're in the hands of God. God knows what's there. God knows what you need a healing for. And whatever it is, nothing is impossible to our God. He's the wounded healer. He's the healer. By his wounds on the cross, by the suffering he went through, we are healed. By his wounds, we are healed. And I pray that for you right now, Pamela. I pray it for you, for Pamela's sister, Mary. That's Mary who needs the healing. And I again invoke all of you wonderful prayer partners out there. I again say Kathleen McCarthy is always praising you people for your prayer support and your love, your support of this ministry. With your love, your prayers, your finances, you're so important to In His Sign Network. So, and you know Kathleen, she's a giant in this field, preaching for the Lord and going in her healing ministry and touching hearts, souls, minds, and bodies. It's so powerful. Many people are healed. So please continue to support this ministry, In His Sign Catholic Radio. God bless you. Have a beautiful evening. I love you. Thank you for being with you today. And continue to pray for these people, and we'll continue to pray for you. And don't forget St. Gertrude. God love you.